Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant and Leighton and Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff. Nice to have you with us today for the first of several summer commentary watches. We're going to be doing one of Rachel's favorite movies today. We were supposed to do it on Tuesday, but Rachel wasn't feeling well, but now she's back. So I'm going to give it to her and tell us what we're going to watch tonight, Miss Rachel.
Well, hello and welcome to you all. And yes, I am sorry. I am still having a few minor health issues, but we're powering through, guys. So just, you know, all your thoughts and prayers. So I am really happy about this one. You know, normally I'm the virgin on a movie, and it's really exciting to be able to watch a movie that I am incredibly familiar with that has some of my favorite actors in it. I'm talking about Samuel L. Jackson. I'm talking about Christina Ricci. I am talking about that motherfucking triple threat that can dance, sing, and just act his ass off, the wonderful Justin Timberlake, alongside a whole plethora of other amazing people, and a really not safe for work, lock your kids in the closet, send them off with the babysitter tonight, because there is some majorly graphic scenes in this one. And of course, if you haven't figured it out by now, it is the wonderful, the classic Black Snake Moan. Mm. Ooh. What is, now, Carl,
yep.
You've seen this one before, right?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen this before. I really like this film. I really connect it to the soundtrack and also to Samuel L. Jackson's character, who plays a religious blues man. And we'll talk about how much he practiced and how much time he took to learn how to play. But when you see him play in this movie and sing, that's him.
Oh,
seriously.
My Lord, does it just smack you in the face. I am not even kidding. Samuel L. Jackson just kills it in this one, along with everybody else. Like I said, this one is just absolutely wonderful. And again, very graphic. This is your trigger warning. Like, if you've got any sort of triggers, you probably don't want to watch this movie, because it is going to put those scuzzy ass cowboy boots on and stomp them real hard.
Yeah.
So, again, ladies especially, there's some scenes in here that you might be inclined to be a little upset about at first, but please understand the story and continue watching till the end. It is just so good. Now that I've said all of that.
And we should be actually a little more succinct, in, because this deals with sexual abuse, deals with nymphomania, and deals with being a prisoner. There's a lot here to unpack, but it is a hell of a film. There's no question. Now, just so everyone knows, this is available for rent on Amazon for $3.99. And if you have a DVD or that, you can use that also to listen to our commentary. Any other things before we start the countdown, my dear? Are you all set?
I'm all set at Double Lots, just like usual. Mm-hmm. Waiting on some Chinese food. I'm very excited about that. Gonna chill out, watch this movie, eat some good food, and hopefully have a great commentary watch.
Absolutely. So at this point, I think we're going to do our countdown. Our countdown is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then I say go, and that's when we start. So we ready? I guess we are.
We're ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Right. Whole bunch of black happening right now. Nudity, violence, substance use, alcohol.
Paramount. Paramount Vantage. That was their, like, Focus Films and that sort of thing. That was their little... That, my friends, is Sun House. The title of this movie, Black Snake Moan, is from a Sun House song from the 1920s, or 30s, I think. Let me check that to make sure. Blind Lemon Jefferson, excuse me. The soundtrack is just unbelievable. Okay, that's hot. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. This is one of those movies that there's a lot of moments where there's not going to be any commentary because, good God, damn! All right, so we got Buddy Boy. There's my Justin. There he is. Barely recognizable Christina Ricci.
And there's Samuel L. Jackson.
There we go.
That's one other thing that brought me to this film, too, was its view on Christianity and how he develops throughout the film, too.
Oh, absolutely. Like, everybody has a lot of growth in this one, okay? It's definitely a beautiful, beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rough story, but it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And to be honest, I think it's one of Samuel L. Jackson's best roles. It's certainly one of the films that he's not well known for in terms that this did not do well at the box office. And it doesn't seem to have a real cult following. That's why I was really surprised you mentioned this film.
Always liked this one. But like I said, it's got some of my favorites here. So...
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, he is so scary.
Well, that's part of what you know, this movie is about. He is scary. But then again, it's Samuel L. Jackson. When hasn't he been scary? There's a couple movies that he's not scary in. But generally, yeah. So there's a story about this film. And during shooting, when she wasn't on set, she'd still be in these very, very provocative clothes. And Samuel L. Jackson would tell her to put on some clothes, woman. And she wouldn't do it because she wanted to keep in character.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, one thing I will say is that this particular relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for each other. You can tell that right at the beginning. You can also tell that they're both damaged. And so you're rooting for these two throughout the whole film.
Yeah, of course. Like, you want them to be together because they are so good for each other.
Mm-hmm. By the way, you realize this movie is set in Tennessee.
Yes.
And he's leaving for the service. I don't want to give any plot points away, not at this point, but you can see that they're both damaged.
Oh, absolutely.
It's why they're damaged. Why they're damaged.
Absolutely. And so she's having her little freak out here. Because she is,
mm-hmm.
well, very, very obviously a nymphomaniac.
Yes. And why is she? That's the question.
Yeah. What kind of trauma we got going on here? Because obviously something's going on. Because she's got a fiance. She's very obviously in love. But she's also going to pound town with another dude as soon as this guy walks out the front door. So, we got a lot of luggage to unpack here with this one.
No.
Beautiful car, though.
Oh, yeah. And let's face it, she is hot as balls, as a friend of mine used to say.
Yeah.
And of course, we also did Freeway, too.
Oh, I love that one.
I love that. Now, we should...
But that's not her in that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
Go ahead.
That was Reese Witherspoon that was in Freeway.
Right.
Kiss my real coochie.
Yeah, this is not a real good relationship right here. I wonder who this is.
Gee, could it be her mother?
I'm thinking probably yes.
Oh, butter beans.
Oh, fucking
damn. God, I need them so bad right now.
We should give you a little bit of background about the director in this particular film. The director is Craig Brewer, and he did a film called Hustle and Flow 2 years previous to this. It came out in 2004, and it was heralded as one of the best black-themed films ever made, and it is a fantastic movie.
I just have to say, these roses are so beautiful, and I'm a little pissed off about this scene, but it is also one of my favorites because, you know, it's just that feeling of completely fucking your ex. Like, you worked so hard on this, you little bitch. Man.
Yep. But so anyway, he did Hustle and Flow, and this movie came out, and this was very divisive, this film. And as you watch it, you understand why. And it really hurt his career.
Well, you know, I can really see why, because this is, like I said in the beginning, just wait until the end. Please give me at least that. Just wait for it. You'll understand. I promise. But don't say anything until then, you snowflake bastards. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. But it's a hard one. And I mean, people make fun of it like it's not some sort of real addiction until you've met a real nymphomaniac, and then you will really understand. It's
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, any addiction is hard, honestly. And, you know, he's obviously, that's not his first wife or anything, so he's obviously addicted to love, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
He's addicted to doing it, and it's just, you know, we've all got our problems.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have to come up with some creative ways to try and fix them.
By the way, that woman he was talking to is Ruby Wilson, and you will see her as a vocalist. And she's a blues singer. Okay, so.
And of course, you got the friends that are like, you know, would you actually take a bullet for me? Fuck you.
Look at his eyes, man. He's acting all through his eyes.
Amazing. I mean, that's why he's the greatest. I mean, he is
too.
One of the goats over here, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, we talk about his... Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I think he's a little upset about something.
Yeah. This is all about tortured souls.
Yep. 100%.
Knoxville.
Oh my God, is Steven there?
Yeah, go say hello to Steven for us. I forgot this was set in Tennessee.
Well, you know, that's where a couple of us in the Legion are now, so we got to give our respect to the great state of Tennessee. Yeah. Oh, God, I remember the days of drinking like that. Oh, never again.
No, hell no. Oh, I smoked that joint, too, actually.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, let's do it.
I'm not an alcohol person, these days, though.
Hey, me neither, so I totally
get
it.
Yeah, I know.
Douche. Supposed to be that guy's best friend, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't do pills. Definitely do not do the pills.
Oh, no. That always makes me sick.
That's one nice thing. When I did a lot of drugs, they all turned out to be natural. There are a couple of times I did chemicals, but it never worked out well for me.
No, I'm not a fan. Not ever. Mm-mm. Like, my doctor was actually trying to prescribe me something the other day for some pain I was having, and she saw the look on my face and was like, okay, you know what? I think I'm going to look into some other solutions. I was like, I love you, doc. Thank you for understanding. I'm already on enough medication as it is.
Yeah, exactly. I know a lot of people, one person in particular, who I was very close to, who just has so much medications. Okay, we got to be quiet here.
Yeah, here we go. Shut up.
By the way, this is him actually playing and singing.
You
he
did explain that earlier.
8 weeks before the shoot, learning how to play.
Open your ears, Carl.
I'm even going to put up the... That's the other thing, is that the blues music, they make a point that blues music is about losing the person you love, troubles, and by singing and by acknowledging it.
It's about pain, man.
And it helps you. You know, this is his type of prayer. Because he's very, very religious. This is prayer for him. And they make that clear later in the film.
Naked football.
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Yeah, me neither.
I've never seen it since.
You know, now that you mention it. I mean, I've seen lingerie football before. That's a thing, but...
I haven't seen that.
And by the way, that right there where he just had sex with her, that is totally rape. She was entirely out of it, and I'm sorry. Even if she's a nymphomaniac and was saying she wanted it, she can't consent to that. Oh wow. Well, there you go. Sorry, I'm kind of in awe right now.
Understood. So am I.
She is so messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention that whole racism thing.
Yeah.
She is just off in another universe.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. That's where you fucked up. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not saying any of this is her fault, but Chuck. Hey, at least she's getting a nap now.
No, he thinks she's dead.
Well, yeah, I know. Pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You don't usually drop kick living people out of your truck like that.
No, true. True.
because you didn't kill him.
Exactly. What a fucking soundtrack.
Oh, I know. Not even my style of music, but it's still, I appreciate the hell out of it.
It's my style. It's one of my styles. I love blues music, and particularly old-time
blues.
Oh, I
know you do.
That, by the way, is the Black Keys. No, I take that back. That was Jesse Mahimpo. Sorry about that.
To God, I would not mind living out in a cabin in the country like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like my cabin to be a little different, but still, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, damn it.
Okay.
Threw another dead white girl out here. Don't they know trash day is on Thursdays?
Okay, this is what changes everything. Of course, that's the point.
It's alive! Oh, suddenly he's so sweet. Like, what's going on here? Her phone. He's the only black guy I know.
Mm-hmm. And now we have the next person. That's very important in this film.
Oh, yeah.
And an actress you would know from a TV show, but she hasn't done many films.
I can't remember what TV show she was in, but I know I fucking love her.
Law and Order.
I never watched that.
Law and Order. That's the path of Murkison.
Yes, well, I never watched Law and Order, so that one's a little bit of a loss on me, but I remember seeing her and stuff, and I know that she is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Just to give you an idea of some of the other things she's been in, just a moment. See, I have an IMDb all set up. Aren't you proud of me?
Look at you, buddy boo. Being all prepared and shit.
She was in Lincoln. She was in Jacob's Ladder. You know the one you've seen her in, I'm sure?
What?
Chicago Med.
I mean, she does look like a doctor. Even though I never watched that show, I still associate her like being a doctor-y type. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's probably it. I mean, I don't really know, but sure. We'll go with that.
Oh, she's been on there for 9 years now.
Oh, the hallucinations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was in the movie Radio. Lots of Law and Order, as I said. Oh, God, that soundtrack is just so fucking good.
Exactly what it sounds like outside my house right now, so it's a little freaky. He is like the motherfucking sweetest that there is ever. I mean, we all need people like this in our lives. Once in a while. Somebody who's just genuinely willing to help. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
There are some scary-ass people in this movie, by the way. I think they're all fucking scary.
Yeah. I mean, they did a really good job in the casting. We need to look up who that is and just give them major props because, legit, these guys fucking scary, Carl. And
oh,
I just mean, whew.
Hold on.
The moment that changes everything. Wait, no, might not be this one.
That is Nenus Williams, and he has not done much acting.
Well, did a fantastic job casting this, though. Congratulations,
Nenus
Williams.
Well, let me put it this way. This is the only movie he's in, period.
He's like, oh shit, it's a crazy half dead white girl. What's a man to do? Got those crazy jaundiced eyes.
Oh, man. Now, let's talk a little bit about his name, Lazarus. You know the story of Lazarus?
Vaguely remember
so
it.
So in the Bible, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus who died, and Jesus was somewhere else, and came, and through Jesus, he was resurrected. He was dead, and then he lives again. In many ways, spirit is completely dead because of what his wife has done to him. And it is his
I like how he says things too.
I think the people who are watching this with us and listening to this commentary, I think at this point they realize this is something different. It's not going where they expected to go.
Yeah, and that's why I was so intrigued by this movie, is because I watched it initially for the people in it, and then I was like, wow, that went to a place that I could not have imagined.
Yeah.
Now he's starting to figure out there's something desperately wrong with this poor woman.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the one thing that you find out, he might be scary, but he's kind. And he does believe. He is Christian.
Yeah.
And he's trying
really
to do
is.
The right thing, but he doesn't know what the right thing is. Right?
And it's hard with people who have a crippling addiction or disability like this. It's very hard to know what to do and when to do it. especially because this person isn't self-aware enough to know how to help fix it, how to help it at all. You know, that used to make my baby go to sleep almost instantly. If I would just take my hand or even a finger and start at the forehead and just gently rub down to the tip of her nose and just kind of keep stroking like that, she would go right to fucking sleep. Like, it was magic, man. That seems to be a thing that you really only see mamas do. So I thought that was it's the small gestures in this movie that really, that really seal it for me, that really make me believe, you know, that take me past that point of, I've seen this guy in 50 other movies as 50 other characters, but he is Lazarus in this, and she is Ray Duel.
No, absolutely. And this is why for all his work with Tarantino, and he's great in Tarantino films, do not get me wrong, connected to all those characters. They're written by Tarantino. It's his perception. This is completely different. Completely different. And this is extremely well written. God damn. I also love what he montages that Brewer does.
Oh yeah, this movie is full of them, and they are fucking fantastic.
And he lets the music speak. He makes them, you know, speak, and that's a great thing. Oh, Jesus on the Main Line, one of my favorite hymns. I'm a huge Ry Cooder fan, and that's the first time I ever heard this. But it dates back way, way back in the 1800s. This was sort of like a folk spiritual.
He's kind when he needs to be, but he's got a streak in him. We've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Starting to realize something's fucked up. Wait, what? I wanted to tell you about that.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you about that.
Well, see, it's because you're a crazy bitch. God, if I had a quarter for every time somebody said that to me, you ain't right yet. And this is where we have to start to have the conversation about consent, because did she consent to be healed? No, she did not.
No.
Does she benefit from all of this ultimately? Yes, and it's good, and it's great, and all of that, but
no, this should not happen. And he's as fucked up as she is, but in a much different way.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is one of the things about conservative Christianity. They get, you know, you get to a point where I'm going to cure you. No, you're not. It's not you that cures anyone.
I don't understand how she was rolling around in the glass and playing touch football in those white panties, and they're still clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Oh, wait, no, we got a little bit on the butt there. I'm going to suck you. You know, I also can't count the times I have had to say something like that to my kids.
No. This is what we call a meeting of the wills, not a meeting of the minds.
This is a battle of the wills. Carl, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, that looks so good. Probably because the answer to that question for me is yes, I am starving, Lazarus. Can I please have some of that food?
I like, you know,
she's just like a petulant little child.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely got the face of one.
It's a meeting of the wills. It's a battle too, but it's a meeting.
It becomes a meeting soon. Like here, this is more of a meeting of the wills. Like, she's allowing him to do this to her.
Right.
And he's still trying to help her, even though she's being a petulant little bitch.
Yeah. But one of the things that this really brings out is that the happenstance of meeting people and how they change your life. And this is life-changing.
Yeah. It absolutely is. You crazy son of a bitch.
They're both damaged, and that's the thing, man.
I just tell you, if this is supposed to be set in Tennessee, every character in this damn movie's damaged.
Is he going to succumb or not? That's the next question. It'll be real hard for me, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I don't think she's really his type, though. He seems to like kind of thicker, darker women.
Right.
But I don't just mean black ladies. I mean ladies that have a little bit of extra melanin.
Oh, trust me, I understand that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I get
it 100%. I'm just saying, you know, Christina Ricci, as hot as she is, I don't think she's his type. And it doesn't hurt that, you know, she really does look like a child. So while he's taking care of her, it's almost creepy to think about. And I think he sees it that way. I mean, there is that just, like, really base lizard brain male part of him that's like, ooh, she's offering me a warm place to stick it, that thinks about
right.
it briefly, but then he's like, ew, she's like a kid. I'm not into that shit.
No.
I really feel it's kind of that way.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I mean, like, you know, the story he's got going with the pharmacist, it's, you know, the more that you repeat something like that, my little niece, the more he calls her his little niece, even though she's this hot, naked vixen chained up in his cabin, he's going to see her more and more like that.
Right.
You know, and the more he takes care of her and sees the gross side of her, you know, he's gonna see more and more of that. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think that's a really subtle part of the movie that people don't really think about. I mean, it's almost subconscious. But and the clothes he picks for, because you can see they've got like little strappy dresses and shit, but he picks some generally modest but cute things. And, you know, not to spoil anything, obviously he's there trying to find clothes for her because she can't be walking around in her tighty-whities. And I can't call that a shirt, I'm sorry, but whatever it is, she's going
to
have.
No, it's not a shirt. I happen to agree with you on that.
I think it used to be at some point, but, Again, I think that this all just kind of goes to seal my point that, yeah, he thinks of her as a child and a child that needs to be protected and taken care of.
Right.
I mean, as much as a, you know, macho asshole as he is, he's really taking on this, like, matronly role.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting, too. Like, maybe this is, like, secretly a gender reversal kind of thing, because she's the more male of the two, you know, in the traditional sense of constantly thinking.
I think there's a lot to that, actually.
Yeah, because she's the one that's constantly thinking about sex. She's crass. She's rude. You know, she's the male of the two. And he's the one that grows his veggies and is taking care of a sick child, basically. And, yeah, I think that's an interesting dichotomy to look at.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
He made her, you know, a salve for her stuff, and it's going to make her soft and smell good. Like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that pharmacist lady really is just kind of the neutral party in all of this.
Right.
Possibly my favorite twist of the movie of all time, and again, no spoilers, of course, is that this is a movie with no actual villain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of danger, and, you know, the villain is definitely the darkness that they're all harboring within, but
mm-hmm.
there's no villain. Like, you're not scared that somebody's going to, you know, tell what's going on. Oh,
right.
My God, we're going to get in trouble. Like, it's not that kind of danger. Even though he does have her chained, you can see that it's almost voluntary at this point. In a very Stockholm kind of way, because she does half-heartedly try to get away, but, oh, my God, this scene. I mean, she is just absolutely mesmerizing. That poor little boy. Oh, dear. Yeah, so that happened, and that's one of those surprising things about this movie is they do not hold their punches when it comes to this shit.
No.
And again,
not
if you've ever known anybody with issues like that, you know how it is. And yeah, it can be dangerous in a lot of senses. So, I mean, is
mm-hmm.
he doing a good thing for her? Yes. Is he doing it against her will? Is he doing it against her will? Absolutely, but she knows that she can't control herself. She wants to, but she can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the big question I have about this is, like, when does it go from Stockholm to willing? Does
mm-hmm.
it ever? We'll have to wait and see. And I mean, if you think about it that way, like with the Stockholm Syndrome, and you think about fairy tales and shit with that, like that, which are, of course, the classic redemption stories. There's
right.
always a redemption arc in fairy tales, real fairy tales. And, you know, we've got elements of fairy tale like the flowers, the red roses,
mm-hmm.
you know, the mysterious girl that shows up out of nowhere. You know, basically we've got this quest to make her better, like God gifted him or God put her in his path, as he said, to
mm-hmm.
and he's not going to let her go until she's better. So this is his quest. And.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about it more in the sense of Beauty and the Beast being the classic Stockholm fairy tale, of course. But when we all think about it, it's like she had books and fancy food and a beautiful castle to live in, and everybody left her alone. And fuck yeah, I'll stay. Take me, buddy. And in this sense, it's also very Beauty and the Beast because Samuel L. Jackson, we've all seen him. He can clean up very well. He is a very handsome man, but they made him look like the scruffiest crazy man I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he was a hobo asking me for change, I'd genuinely be scared. And it's not because it's black, but it's just because he's got those eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but this is also kind of a Beauty and the Beast thing because, you know, here she is, this gorgeous fair maiden that's trapped in his tiny, but very nice castle. It's got good food. It's clean. It's got, you know, all of the working amenities.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe the writer was kind of doing that on purpose.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. And let's talk about the writer. Okay, let's get there for a moment.
Yes, please.
Because I'm pretty sure that Craig Brewer wrote this. I just want to make sure of that before I say that. Yeah, the director, this is his script. No one else wrote this but Craig Brewer. So I wanted to make sure of that before we said anything else.
That is so fantastic. Maybe more of what Craig Brewer has done. I'd like some reference points. Like,
okay, well, okay, so that's a good question. So as I said, he did Hustle and Flow. Okay.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Did Hustle. Okay. So right now he's doing a lot of TV series. Particularly Empire is his show. Okay. He was executive producer of The Invaders, the reboot miniseries. he also did Coming to America. That's the second. He did that. He did Dolomite Is My Name, which is a great film. Both of those was Eddie Murphy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I
mean, some of those are absolute fucking classics right there.
Mm-hmm. Then he did reboot of Footloose. And as I said, he did Black Snake Moan. And then before that, he did Hustle and Flow. And there are two other films before that, which I don't know, Resolutions of the Complacent Man and The Poor and the Hungry. But he started out, you know, a lot like our friend who directed Kenan Walker. He started out in Tennessee and Nashville.
I can kind of tell, because if you watch this movie and you're from Tennessee, there's a lot of native elements.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Back.
Now, if it hasn't been made completely clear to you yet, he suffers from extreme panic attacks. And for whatever reason, she is the only one who is able to help him through that. She's the only one that can calm him. And he seems to be the only one that's able to calm her.
Right.
So, like you said earlier, they really help each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. I know we're supposed to be commenting, but I get kind of lost in this dialogue sometimes. It's like,
oh yeah, that's
again. The writer is just so fucking good.
And again, that's the director. I want to make that clear. This was a film he had complete control over, and it didn't do well, and so he didn't have complete control for a long time.
Yeah, and that makes me really sad that it didn't do well, because, again, it's one of my favorites, but I was surprised that you were surprised when I mentioned this movie. I was like, what? No, it's great.
It is. I don't disagree with that at all.
And that's the other thing, is there's a lot of humor in this movie that
gets kind of
overlooked, I think.
Of course, the preacher doesn't know that his son got laid.
What was that?
The preacher, that was his son that got laid by Ray. And so the preacher doesn't know that happened.
Yeah, I know. That's a rough one. Yeah, the preacher's underage son had sex with a girl that's chained up in his buddy's house. That's a real fun one. Oh, this guy is such a fucking douche!
Yep.
No, she hadn't. And that's just so sad. He's so hurt.
Yeah.
God. Wasn't he in Scream, maybe?
Yeah, he was.
I was about to watch that recently and do a little throwback. Dude, just because I have panic attacks and anxiety doesn't mean I won't beat your fucking ass.
Exactly.
You got beat up by Justin Timberlake. Well, her hair looks so cute. Yeah, and you don't live in Tennessee if you ever had never sat around somebody's kitchen table at night like that drinking some fucking moonshine.
Oh, I had a friend of mine, Ed, Who knew moonshine? This was up in Maryland, bringing moonshine. I've done that before. Sit in a porch and drink moonshine. Absolutely.
Well, I told you about my uncle's wedding in Nashville. He had gone back to the property that he and my mom lived at in Arkansas, and they ended up digging up one of the jugs of moonshine that their old neighbor had buried, because he was a moonshiner, and he buried them all over the property and crossed the line sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He'd kept it in his cellar for a few years, and then on his wedding night, pulled out this big, giant, like, one of those, like, 2-gallon jugs full of moonshine that was so old it had actually turned brown, like it was turning into bourbon. And it was the most stout, crazy shit I've ever had in my life. And I don't remember a whole bunch of the very end of that night, but boy, did we have fun.
To be honest.
True beauty, look at her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
My 14-year-old's over here drooling their ass off right now, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we just got their guitars hung on the wall, like, yesterday.
Now, that is Samuel L. Jackson playing the fucking guitar. I want that clear.
You have said this. It is very clear. This is one of the best scenes in the movie, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I've been a little silent. It's just like, jeez, ugh.
This is Black Snake Moan by Blind Lemon Jefferson.
And this is just... Yeah, the way it coordinates with the storm in here and just the tension and the fear and, oh, my God, you know?
Oh, he's so good in this.
Is that not just so motherfucking powerful right there?
Oh, hell yeah.
And you see right here where she's wrapped around his leg in a very childlike way. And she's wearing a very childlike dress, even though it's got the halter top on it like that.
Right.
Like, those were some of my first dresses when I was a kid because they're the easiest to make. And she's got her little curly ponytail and everything. And well, and of course she's tiny as hell. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think that's genuinely how he's able to resist her. I would give a limb to find a vegetable truck right, like that right now.
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, we've got a really nice farmer's market, but I want a veggie truck like that where they're selling it out the back for cheap as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Those old men staring.
I love the look. Oh, she's flirting.
They both are. It's so adorable because it's so awkward. Because they're so polite and proper to each other and so fucking Southern.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, we still have a lot of grocery stores like this out here that look exactly
like this.
A little bit more expensive sometimes, but beautiful.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, this is a right here in the next one are like, wow. Because if you remember at the beginning of the film, I talked about where did all this come from? Now you start
yeah.
to find out.
Oh, absolutely. It's very evident, Carl. Like, there ain't no question from the very beginning she had an abusive male figure in her life, and her mom was basically a piece of shit who didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because she was poor and had to work multiple jobs to try and keep food on the table for a kid that she didn't have time to teach how to be grateful for shit. So, yeah. It's the cycle of poverty, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, that's so fucking low, man. Yeah, that woman deserves, like, an uppercut to the snatch, man. Well, there's that. And that's the story of
yep.
why Ray's not allowed in the Quickie Marts anymore.
Yeah, but it was, you know, the thing is the people, by facing your demons and also confronting the people who let those demons have you is the way to be healed. Oh, I forgot about this.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved that hymn.
Yeah, agreed. Uh-oh.
It's so tragic because, you know, she can't help herself.
Mm-hmm. But in that case, it was well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that bitch deserved it. That bitch deserves more.
Mm-hmm.
Just say I'm not a fan of parents who don't take an active role in raising their children and then try to blame them for being fucked up when they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we've seen another movie like this, and I can't remember what it was, but I made the same comment. I believe it is possible to bathe another human being, like another adult, and for it not to be sexual in any sort of nature.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I have to say
yeah.
about this is you take a look at her in this, and once she gets beat up, the makeup, it never, you know, she's always there and she always has the scars. And the scars are always going to be there.
The bruising, yeah.
The bruising.
Now, they do a great job because you do in this movie see it in the various stages of healing. But I don't think
no.
it ever actually goes away.
No, it doesn't. Now, notice he hasn't done this in years.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Definitely a southern preacher. They got a pint with him. There she is again. That's probably one of my favorite colors of pink, too. I mean, I know it's more of like a fuchsia, but God,
yeah.
It is gorgeous.
Come on.
No, yeah.
The other thing I like about this is that music heals. You know,
yeah.
I talked a little bit about that, about the blues music particularly. You get out all these angry feelings. But this is the other type of blues, where it's celebratory.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking soundtrack.
God, I love this song.
I'm chair dancing. I want you to know that.
You what? Oh, you're chair dancing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happily eating some orange chicken right now, but I am sitting here kind of doing a happy groovy dance on the sofa while I'm chewing.
This is Stag Lee. This is the dirty version of Stag Lee.
Oh, yeah. Motherfucking kiss.
Rudy Ray Moore. And there's a movie that Craig Brewer did, My Name is Dolomite. And Rudy Ray Moore also did his version of Stag Lee.
Nice. Uh-oh, anxiety-ridden military boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to you now?
And there's Funhouse. I love how they bring Funhouse into this.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's kind of the best description of that I've heard.
Yes.
Like you could open your eyes a little more. Yeah. And I love how they basically find an excuse to make everybody in this movie sing. Except for Justin Timberlake, I think. I don't think he actually sings in this one.
No, I don't think he does. Let it shine. And that's it. That's an old, old hymn. And that comes from the Black experience.
It's just great because it's just such a simple moment.
Yeah. And she's got a great voice, too.
I mean, everybody they have sing in this movie does. This always freaks me out. Oh, God damn it. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped. I'm not going to say who. Yeah, there's some anger issues there, too. I mean, the more and more I look at this, like, you know, she gets to leave the castle for a moment, like a night of fun or whatever. And then she comes back and she's really bonded with the beast, i.e. her captor. And then the angry man from the village comes in with all of his misconceptions and ruins it all. God, the tension right here is just like, ah.
Oh, this is beautiful.
I know. I told you the dialogue is just captivating here. Down. It's so cute. In like a really fucked up way, you know? Aww. So I'd say he's calling in the reinforcements, going to show that, like, no matter how bad you are, how trashy people may think you are, how horrible you think you are, like, you're not beyond redemption.
No, ever. Never. You're always, you have to want it and you have to work at it, but yeah, you could be redeemed. And it's a combination of you, circumstances, and God. Or however you want to put it.
Aww. And I mean, you see, it hasn't been long, but she's already been helped so much. I mean, she's still got bandages and shit on her knees.
Yeah.
Cheers. the sweetest thing I've ever seen. This movie does not go where you expect it to.
And especially here, too.
Yeah. It's so funny to watch him fumble
and
do that.
I'm not good at that either, so don't worry, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, Rhea and I are both sitting here going, I can do tie. But it's funny watching him fumble to do that, because you know that motherfucker can tie a tie like probably 30 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And can I say I just love her dress, by the way? That is so pretty on her.
Yes, very much so.
And as much as I don't like Ray's dress, it's very appropriate on her. So I fucking love it. So yes, I know we haven't talked about it much in this movie because there wasn't much to talk about. But the costuming is fantastic. And, I mean, they really are, like, even though it's been such a short time, they're, like, fucking family now.
Yeah.
And that's the best advice ever. Get your shit together and live your life.
That's really good.
And there we go, just confirming my theory about her being a child in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Got her a belly chain. Oh, look at those two. You know, sometimes those... Get out the way. Pass the truck. Pass the logging truck. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I understand his anxiety right now. That's intense. Hey, I have fucking been there. Driving still freaks me out. Be good, girl. You got this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. This is just so intensely fucked up and yet so beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
That is just wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe that, like, nearly stopped his career.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Yeah. I've always loved that one. And I love how ambiguous the ending is, because you get closure, but you don't get the end of the story, because, I mean...
No, there's still a lot of shit those two got to go through.
Everybody
and you know
does.
It, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this was all about, is, you know...
Yeah.
This wasn't about a story. This was about getting these characters to the point that they can begin their stories.
He was really good too. John Cochran, David Banner,
Michael Raymond James, Adrienne Lennox, Kim Richards. I've seen her in a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about him. Nemus K. Williams. So yeah, that is the Black Snake Moan for you, and I just think that is an often overlooked gem of a movie right there.
Oh,
with
I agree.
A really excellent cast.
Very much so.
I mean, there was not a single person that was wrong for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think one of my favorite things is that's one of the, you know, few movies that doesn't have an actual villain. There's no bad guy. Like I said, you know, nobody's going to tattletale on the fact that he's got this girl chained up in his house.
Right.
Because like I said, even in the beginning when she's still trying to get away, you can tell that she's really only half-assing it.
Yeah. Except that first time where she's like,
But I think with the amount of just incredibly fucked up things that have happened to her in her life, maybe it was just easier for her to accept.
Mm-hmm. By the way, just so everyone knows, the people that are singing right now is the North Mississippi All-Stars, and they're phenomenal. Just wanted to say that. Go ahead.
Didn't TC have some of their music on the show at one point?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, either way, I think that's a fantastic movie. I mean, what are your thoughts here, Carl?
Well, you know, I haven't seen this for a number of years. And, of course, we're doing a commentary watch on it. So it's not like I completely watched the movie. But, God damn, it's a good movie. And
exactly.
One of Samuel L. Jackson's best roles, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
The film is dedicated to R.L. Burnside, who was a great, great blues man from North Carolina.
You think that's why the character was named R.L.?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bet you that paycheck we still don't have, but yeah, that's definitely it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the names of these songs. Jesus on the Main Line, Granny Do Your Dog Bite,
yep.
Old Black Maddie,
lovely.
A Town with No Shame,
mm-hmm.
My Baby Got Drunk.
Yep.
Love it. That is a soundtrack that would definitely be worth having.
Oh,
yeah. They filmed it in Memphis.
Nice. Shelby County, Stanton, Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, they said to the people of Memphis, Tennessee, and to the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, and Shelby County, which Shelby County is where Memphis is. So, yeah. Yeah, they filmed in Memphis. That's awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
they want to go to Knoxville instead of Memphis.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Knoxville's a little bit harder to film in because you've been there, Carl. It's you've got to get through some mountain passes, and that would be pretty hard with, you know, like 8 buses of film equipment.
Yeah, true. True.
Just go to Memphis and pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we got the pyramid.
So very quickly, let's go into housekeeping, just so everyone knows. Okay, so tomorrow, Adam's going to have a show, and unfortunately, they had to sort of like work it around, and so they're doing Emmy nominations for that, and that's tomorrow. Then on Saturday, I'm going to be doing a show with TC, and it's all going to be new music for July that I have found, all courtesy of you, my dear. And
you're
of course,
welcome
the family
again. And well, I mean, come on, you're family, bub. So, like, of course, we're going to add you to our music list. And yes, I am so glad you are still enjoying the hell out of that, because I do not use it at all. You know, the kids use the family plan because they watch their videos and all that. And I don't do a lot of YouTube. I just, you know, I'll look up a random occasional video to show somebody, but it's all stuff from my past. And I'm glad that you're taking part in it, because again, I don't use it, but you guys are definitely getting our money's worth out of it, and I appreciate that, because I don't like wasting money.
Exactly. And on Sunday, TC is going to be with us for Rock This Town Radio, and they're going to do a show called You Wear It Well, which is all songs about clothes. So
nice.
There you go. And I will also tell you that on Tuesday, we just decided this, that we're going to be doing a commentary watch, another summer commentary watch of Crawl, which is a very, very fine sort of like nature monster movie that's set during hurricane season down in Florida, and directed by the same director who did Piranha 3D and also High Tension. And it's a very good movie, and we're going to be doing that on Tuesday. So there you go. That's what we have
wildly
so far.
Opposite movies.
Yeah. So this one was Rachel's choice, and Tuesday is my choice. So there you go. So please join us. Any other final words about what we just watched, my dear?
Well, I'm glad if we have anybody joining us tonight or later on down the road to watch this one. Again, it is such an underrated gem. I really think we need to post this on IS, we're posting the show, but we need to talk about this movie on ISF, because it's been
a while
since I've watched it, and just some of the thematic elements are just like slapping me in the face so hard right now. I'm already down a rabbit hole on it, and I am just there for it. So I can't wait to delve more into this with all of you guys later, and I hope you enjoyed it, because I know I did. So there we go.
Absolutely. Well, folks, I want to say thank you for joining us tonight. And as always, Rachel, it's wonderful to have you as a co-host, and you were really good tonight. You know this movie like the back of your hand, it shows.
I told you. and I'm glad I could surprise you with my selection on that one. I don't usually get to do that, so that made me do a little happy dance.
Good. You need to do some more happy dances. I'm just going to say that. All right. So, folks, thank you very much for being with us. And I guess at this point it's time to say good night. Shall we say good night, Miss Rachel?
Good night. Don't let the grumpy bugs bite.
Exactly. Good night, everyone.